eternally true and trustworthy, inerrant word of the living God. He speaks to us from Romans in chapter 12, beginning at the 6th verse. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Father, you are the eternal word, and this is your word. By your Spirit now, would you speak to our hearts, open our minds, Lord. Help us to be attentive to what your Spirit is saying to your church. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was listening to Bill and Ken sing, I was just wondering, how many of you remember listening to Bill Quirn on the radio? Look at that. Wonderful. What's that? Oh, thank you, Quirn family, for sharing your gifts and ministering this morning. We're getting close to the end of this time in Scripture looking at spiritual gifts. I'll wrap it up next week. But last week we looked at the speaking gifts. So this week we'll consider these four serving gifts that are in the text. And with all the definitions and characteristics and cautions that I give in the midst of this will be on the church website tomorrow, or you can ask me for a copy. But these gifts that we're mentioning this morning, the serve gifts, they enable God's work by providing support in both spiritual and practical ways. They are about putting others first. They're about meeting the needs of others so they can freely exercise their spiritual gifts. Now remember, we've said that all of these gifts are also traits that all Christians are to have. The difference is that for some, they have a special enabling, a special anointing, if you will, to do their gift above and beyond what is normally expected of all of us. Or they're enabled by the Spirit to do it more freely or more frequently or more fruitfully than the rest of us might experience. Now, there's also an interesting difference. I don't know if you noticed it as I read the text. Between what Paul says about the speaking gifts and what he says about the serving gifts, there's just this slight, well, it's not slight, but you could miss it. He says, in serving, serve, in teaching, teach, in exhorting, exhort. But then he adds an exhortation to some of these serving gifts, a particular caution. It's cautioning against a temptation that those particular gifts might have for those who are doing them. So, we'll begin with the serving or the helping. If service, in our serving. In 1 Corinthians 12, another great chapter on the spiritual gifts, Paul speaks of it as gifts of helping. And they're also that they devoted themselves to the service of the saints. So, by way of a definition, serving is a Spirit-given special ability given to some to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by identifying unmet needs in the body of Christ, or beyond the body of Christ for that matter, and to use whatever resources necessary to particularly meet those needs. The serving gift also offers assistance to others in exercising their spiritual gifts. So a person with this gift is one who enjoys and seeks out ways to serve behind the scenes, to serve perhaps without recognition. They rejoice in the success of the fruitfulness of others. They see what needs to be done before others do. They're detail-oriented. They're practical. They look for ways to be of assistance, and they find great joy in freeing up others from whatever responsibilities might hinder them from exercising their own gifts. Now, as I've said, all of these gifts have a sort of pros and cons, and you have to be aware of your own gifts and the downside of them. And so the downside of those with a serving gift, for instance, is they sometimes have difficulty saying no, and they find themselves getting overextended, overreaching. It's easy for them sometimes to feel taken for granted when they're not affirmed in their supporting role. They sometimes take too much ownership of helping others and maybe don't let others join in. And it's not uncommon for them to devalue their own contribution and maybe not even see it as a spiritual gift. Now, these people are essential to the life of the church. They're the ultimate team players in Christ's body. And that ministry brochure is filled with people putting this gift to use and filled with opportunities for people with the gift to put their gift to use. Still opportunities for that. Read through that with that in mind. These folks are invaluable in the support of the body for the sake of the common good. So, if the Spirit opens your eyes and hearts to see a need, to see a weakness, to see something lacking, to see something falling through the cracks, take that opportunity, if the Spirit has opened your eyes to it, take that opportunity as His prompting to serve, to come alongside, to bless, to visit, to lift a burden, to make a meal, to show or share some kindness, whatever it might be. This is the first, then, of these four serving gifts. Serve, and if service, in your serving. Then we have this giving, the one who contributes in generosity, or Romans 12:13, contribute to the needs of the saints. In Acts 4:34, we see the church and believers sharing generously so that none had need. So by way of definition, giving or contributing is the Spirit-given special ability given to some to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by freely, joyfully, sacrificially supporting and funding various kingdom and ministry initiatives through significant personal and material contributions, above and beyond the ordinary duty of all Christians as we bring our tithes and offerings. That's expected of all believers. But this is, again, an anointing of the Spirit that goes above and beyond. People with this gift, they actually think about, plan, purposefully give over the 10% in order to see God's kingdom advance. And they find great joy in giving, and they take strong personal interest in the causes or the people needing help. They might strategically seek ways to increase their own resources. I've heard of Christians who see a particular need, their heart is drawn to it, and they take a side job, a side gig, for the purpose of all of those resources going to that. They see their resources as tools for God's use, and they recognize God's ultimate ownership over everything. Now, of course, the downside of this can be taking pride in generosity or trying to use their influence to gain some benefit, perhaps. They can be critical of how others spend money or expect others to give just like they do. And some, because of the largeness of their heart, can be misled to causes that may not end up advancing the cause of Christ. But here's this gift that doesn't say what you kind of expect it, given what Paul has said about the others. He doesn't say, to the one who contributes, contribute, or to the one who gives, give. Rather, he says, to the one who gives with generosity. Now, why would someone with the gift, with this gift, need to be urged to be generous? Well, one reason is because it is often the case that to those whom God has given much, they tend to hold on to it. I mean, after all, the reason they have a lot of money is by not giving it up easily. And they think that the reason other people need money is because, well, they haven't been as careful as they have been with theirs. And so they might resent giving it away. The word liberal is an interesting word. Liberal as in liberality. Now, I know we think that liberals love being liberal with other people's money and we resent them for it. But are we liberal with our own money? And of course, it's not our own money. It's God's money. He's given us to us to be liberal with it. And so when you give to the church, do you delight in it? Do you delight in the privilege, the blessing of giving to the financial needs of the body of Christ? And without resentment, not begrudgingly, not with other motives or agendas. And by the way, it's not just the wealthy who have this gift. In fact, it is more common among those who are not wealthy at all. Think of Paul's commendation of the Macedonians in Corinthians when he says, you gave out of your poverty with great generosity and joy. If you have money, give liberally, generously, joyfully, thankful for the privilege. If you have time, give generously. If you have counsel or wisdom, give generously. If hospitality, give generously. Whatever it is the Spirit has given to you, from that storehouse of His resources, give generously. We had our last new members class last week, and I let them in on the secret of giving at First Church, the blue envelope. I told them about how that's the means for giving to First Church, if you will. And I urged them to make that blue envelope their first priority. Just as we take care of our own household before we give out side of our own household, so we take care of God's household before we give to the other means and opportunities and offerings that we have. God has given to us what He wants us to give to His house. Don't withhold that. And I offer here a word to the deacons. Don't be stingy with God's money. Give it away liberally. Now, I'm saying this not as a rebuke, because as far as I can see, as far as I've noticed, that's what they do. But I want to encourage it by saying that as you handle God's money that He has made you stewards over, be generous, be liberal. Set an example for all of us in what we should do with the money that God has given to us. Be liberal with God's money, and He will be liberal with you, as He has been. The next one, mercy. To the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. I was sick and you visited me, Jesus said in Matthew 25. And in Luke 6:36, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. So by way of definition, mercy is the Spirit-given special ability given to some to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by ministering to those who suffer in some way, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, and they minister to them with love, with care, with compassion, with comfort, with sympathy, kindness, these things that translate into cheerful acts of service to help alleviate suffering. So people with this gift are love in action kind of people who are drawn to opportunities to come alongside. They are the ones who are patient with those who are suffering or sick or in need, even outsiders or outcasts. They tend to place the needs of others above their own. They are ones who grieve with those who grieve. And they find themselves most fulfilled in visiting people in need, in care homes and hospitals and shut-ins and wherever God might direct. And on the other side, those with this gift can sometimes make decisions based more on emotion than on reason. And they might be critical of people who appear to be less sensitive to others. And they may have difficulty saying no to a need, perhaps when they should. So those with the gift of mercy are exhorted here by Paul to show mercy with cheerfulness. In other words, don't spoil the gift. Don't put a damper on it by doing it with a complaining spirit or pride or lack of love. Show mercy cheerfully. Let your face minister to others with a smile, with joy. And don't be too proud to allow others to serve and help you in the same manner. So this gift takes many forms: assisting the poor, coming alongside the weak, helping someone with a disability, lifting the burden from someone who's on overload, caring for someone who might be sick or housebound. God's mercy to us makes us to be merciful to others. All of us in some measure, and some of us to a special degree. Then finally, we have this leading to the one who leads with zeal. Or in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord. So leading is the Spirit-given special ability to some people to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by providing vision and direction and leadership, stimulating spiritual growth, applying strategies, achieving success, a willingness to take responsibility, to organize and to direct. And people with this gift are naturally drawn into leadership roles. They naturally get the big picture. They're able to see ahead farther than others and see final results well in advance. They find it easier to motivate people, whether individually or in teams, to work together in achieving goals for the kingdom. They're able to both take responsibility and also, at the appropriate times, to let go of responsibilities and to delegate. And on the other side of the coin, those with this gift can become insensitive to individuals as they're carrying out the vision. They get too far ahead, perhaps, or they put the project ahead of people, becoming perhaps dominating, demanding. And, of course, it can lead to pride, as actually most of the gifts can. We must guard our hearts in this. But he says, to the one who leads with zeal, or in some translations, with diligence. But why didn't he just say, to those who lead, lead? But why tell them to be diligent? Why would a leader be lazy? Why would a leader be slothful? Well, because leadership is hard. And sometimes rather unrewarding. And sometimes it's not even uncommon for people not to like you. You may be aware that Dr. James Dobson died this past week. Some of the older crowd knows who he is and his focus on the family ministry in Colorado Springs. And actually, Jonathan's grandfather wrote an article this week about Dr. Dobson, just remembering him and his contribution to the body of Christ and to the church. And in reading that article, I was naive, I guess. I had no idea how much criticism and how much flack he took from the evangelical church. I just thought he was terrific. I thought his books were great. I thought his ministry was great. I think the boys remember listening to, what were those tapes we listened to back in the day? What? Adventures in Odyssey. Yes. So I just had a very positive experience, and I just assumed everybody else felt the same way. But he was a strong leader, and he was vocal, and he stood up against many of the sins of our day and our culture, both in the church and in the home and family. I had no idea how he struggled with how much criticism he received through the years from the church, from pastors. Well, that's why Paul says what he says. Spiritual leadership is hard. It's a heavy burden. And he urges them to carry on, to continue with zeal and diligence. Thank your elders who serve, who are God's spiritual protection for you. As Scripture says in Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders, submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. And let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And to you who lead, to elders, to deacons, to teachers, leaders, facilitators, see your gift as a divine gift, a divine calling, a divine enabling, coming with the Spirit's help, and so exercise it in a way that honors the giver and the intentions of the giver. Leading, ruling, exercising authority, this is a serious gift. It's meant for the good of the body, for our safety, for our security spiritually, as those who keep watch day and night over the flock, young and old. But let me just make a summary of these four gifts, the distinctions between them. We could say it this way, that serving shows Christ's hands, meeting practical needs with humility and faithfulness. Mercy shows Christ's heart, compassionately relieving suffering with cheerfulness. Giving shows Christ's generosity to the needy, sharing resources with sincerity. And leading shows Christ's headship over his body, done with zeal and diligence. So remember, your gifts are, well, they're not yours. The church didn't give them to you. They're God's gifts. He gave them to you to use for him in his church. So how has the Spirit gifted you in any of these ways, or in the ways we spoke of last week? Are any of these gifts in you in some sort of seed form, waiting to be watered, waiting to be nurtured? A wonderful place for that to happen is in our life groups, a small group, a safe place where you can experiment or practice. You can see ways perhaps to explore how God has gifted and then how you can use it for others. It's all right to take baby steps. In fact, it's a good way to start. What's not all right is to keep your gift buried out of fear or feelings of inadequacy or comparing yourself to others. Don't let Satan try to discourage you or lie to you or make you think too lowly and to bury your gift or whatever other excuses he might try to plant in your head. Get busy serving and speaking according to the measure of faith that God has already given you, according to the grace that he has given you. You are part of the body. You have a part. The body needs you, and you need the body. So respond in faith to what the Spirit is doing. Step out in faith to what he wants you to do. Pray. Ask for help. Be humble and be bold in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for your incredible generosity in pouring out your Spirit on the church and in pouring out the Spirit's gifts on all. And Lord, would you enable us to hear, to see, to understand, to respond, to move beyond where we are, and to see what you might do by your Spirit in even us. And in all of this, may you receive glory through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs glory and dominion and praise now and forever. Amen.